Bernard de Montreal. Preparatory Communication Number 64. Vampirism of the Unconscious Man. Human unconsciousness does not allow some people to realize that they are vampirizing their loved ones. For the unconscious, man is so twisted by the astral within him that it is impossible for him to imagine that he does to others what he would not want to be done to himself. The unconscious man is so full of himself that he cannot imagine that this measure he has of himself creates vampirism in his life. He cannot even realize for himself what it is to be vampiric, because he feeds on others, and food being what he needs, or believes he needs, takes away from him the sensitivity to realize that he is ripping it off without being given it freely. Some egos are vampiric because they are predisposed to themselves first, not to life in them. They are predisposed to survival, whether spiritual or material, and not to the survival of others. The vampiric ego treats itself first, and then treats others. He first serves himself, then leaves the rest of the dish to others. As long as the ego is filled with itself, it is vampiric, because of the fact that it is filled with itself. It needs to be given to it, because it is higher in its esteem than others cannot be in theirs. The vampiric ego is a being who adorns himself with all kinds of feelings in order to better nourish himself with the lives of others. Whatever his level of intelligence, the vampiric ego will want to be more intelligent than others, in order to prove his vampirism right, which he does not realize. Vampirism comes from an old memory that is not yet extinguished in him, and that makes him feel his memory vibrating. Where the ego is vampiric, it must be cleansed of this memory, because vampirism comes from a misunderstood and incomplete life in the past. Even if the ego is not aware of its vampirism, it will suffer because we can only extract from others what they give us by subterfuge, without eventually suffering the repercussion. The order of life is a creative order, and any creative order generates and does not retain. And since it generates, it does not tear. The vampiric ego suffers from intransigence. And it is the intransigence in him that allows him to be vampiric, because intransigence is the spoon of vampirism. Whether you look at vampirism from one angle or another, you will always find intransigence, because intransigence is the blade of vampirism's intelligence. Uncompromising gives reason to the ego of his vampirism, and he, the poor man, does not realize it, although those around him see it, feel it and suffer from it. Vampirism can only be extinguished with the profound realization that it gives itself false values. And that these values are part of that consciousness within it that is totally under the control of the astral. That is, of that world that does not know the laws of balance. The vampiric ego does not know how to balance its life. So it is difficult for it to live it because it must always be adjusted, always compensated, because it is never what it would like it to be. The vampiric ego learns about what it thinks is right. He gives himself his own measure of justification. And his sense of justification can be very well defined according to the scale he wants to give him. The vampiric ego learns so much about its justification that if it is challenged, it explodes, turns around, gets angry, and wants to take everything back elsewhere what has been denied it. If he cannot take it back, he will take it back in another way. But he will take it back. Because the thirst to be justified is part of his intransigence, of the violence of his justification. The vampiric ego pollutes its own atmosphere. Because it emits smells that others can smell. And maybe one day, if he's lucky, we'll let him know. Otherwise, he will continue to think that he is better than others, and that others owe him, because he is their superior. For the ego to be negatively vampiric, it must feel a certain superiority in itself. Because it is this feeling that gives it the look it needs to feed itself on others and justify such an act. The vampiric ego does not like to be discussed. Because if you discuss it, you take away his right to be just from his judgment. And this right is important to him. Because it becomes the measure by which he lives his vampirism. The vampiric ego often does not understand that we are moving away from it. Because it does not see what it is doing. It is blind of itself. It cannot agree with the fact that we want to leave it behind. The vampirism of the ego is varied. Very varied according to personality, character, temperament, experiences. But it is universal in its mechanicity, because it comes from the fundamental principle of not being perfectly happy with your life. It is this fact at the bottom of everything that drives him to caress himself, to form, from others, seats that are comfortable for himself. Where there is vampirism, there can be selfishness. But there is a fundamental difference between the selfish and the vampiric ego. The selfish ego lacks intelligence, while the vampiric ego is intelligent in the usual sense of the word. And its intelligence is large and distorted enough that it appears to its eyes in a good light. The selfish is not smart enough to feed on others. He will simply try not to share too much with them. While the vampiric ego may well share, but it will share so that it can continue to feed itself later. The vampiric is a natural hunter. He constantly hunts and always finds prey, because the prey is naive and easy, and he is intelligent in his own way. But the vampiric ego does not realize that it destroys the love of others for it, because it does not realize that others never benefit from it. And in the long run they get tired of giving it what is necessarily taken from them. The vampiric ego intervenes quickly in the lives of others, not to rescue them, but to see if there is not something in them that can serve it. He's a fox. He's thin, but he's not subtle, because the subtlety of his action is hidden from him. That is why he is vampiric and does not see his action in the mirror of his consciousness, or rather in the mirror of his unconsciousness. The vampiric ego is prolific in its maneuvers, because its intelligence is always awakened to its well-being. He remembers those who were his prey and will easily return to where he has already drawn. The vampiric ego does not question its action, because its lack of natural generosity leads it, and its movement is stronger than its moral sense or its sense of balance in the action. He always relies on his point of view, because his point of view is his point of view that he uses to trap his prey. He is not necessarily a bad boy or a bad girl. He is simply vampiric. That is, he takes advantage of everything, without realizing it. Children, for example, some children vampirize their parents. Lovers vampirize. Men vampirize men, women vampirize women, or they vampirize each other. Ego vampirism is a condition of the ego that means that it always needs something from the other, instead of getting it through its own efforts. He does not know pure and free exchange. It is a condition that makes one person always rely on another, because he or she has no spine. It is a condition of being that reveals its weakness, its lack of autonomy, its lack of will, although it can have a lot of character. Each form of vampirism has its own mechanisms, and the vampire never sees himself as such. If we refuse him, he gets angry, he turns around, he shouts that we are unfair to him. He is not reasonable in the face of refusal. How can the ego realize its vampirism if it is pointed out to it? Otherwise, he continues to live by the goodwill of others or their naivety. For the main reason why the vampirism of the ego exists is due to the fact that men are so naive that they cannot imagine themselves refusing strongly. because then they feel guilty. Notice that everything in life makes sense and that one thing leads to another. This is the reason why real intelligence is so important in man. Because without it, life is a constant nightmare. An arena where the strong, the foxes, eat the weak, the naive. But the weak are also vampiric in their own way because they need to be supported. Their weakness makes them beings who never stop sucking the ones who are better able to feed them. The weak suffer from a chronic vampirism that only leaves them when they have been pushed back in their incessant demands by those who are smart enough to realize that they are being eaten round and round and round. The vampirism of the ego becomes evident to the ego that becomes intelligent, because from that moment on, in his life, when he begins to see clearly, he realizes that life is totally upside down and that men, instead of being creative with each other, are extremely dependent, interdependent. And when the ego enters the real intelligence and seeks to be autonomous, it realizes the invisible links that still bind it to its old relationships. And he became aware of the subtle vampirism that is the backdrop of human society. As soon as he begins to sever psychological ties with this society, his friendships, he experiences the turmoil caused by his separation, because he takes away from others the opportunity to feed on him. It is then crisis, contempt, accusation. We become heartless. Obviously, we become heartless. Otherwise, we would continue to be vampirist, in the name of charity, in the name of duty, in the name of responsibility, in the great name of filiality, etc. 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 Understanding vibratory vampirism is one of the basic conditions for the evolution of supramental intelligence. Because if we do not understand it, we remain slaves to our emotions, because it is through emotion that this purely human phenomenon is manifested. Even cultures vampirize their citizens, in the name of tax, in the name of patriotism, in the name of certain ideals that must be maintained, otherwise culture, society collapses. If vampirism in all its forms were to disappear from the face of the earth, society, as we know it, would be abolished because it would no longer have the strength of vampirism to give it its cohesion. A profound study of social vampirism would show that man lives socially because of the vampirism of rulers over the governed, and the whole game of dependence and interdependence, the veil in all its possible and imaginable forms of legality. Through this jungle of principles, men tear each other apart and eat each other. Earth life only becomes clear to man when he becomes truly intelligent. And from that moment on, he no longer plays the game. He withdraws into a kind of inner fortress, which cannot be taken by assault. And one day or another, if he is ready, he changes his level of life. Not for death, but for ether. The vampirism of the ego against the ego is an affront to the intelligence of the conscious man. But men are still in their first weapons, and many knocks will have to be given in order to eliminate from their lives what vampirizes them, or those who vampirize them. For vampirism hides itself in many forms, and only real intelligence can find behind these forms. The vampirism of the ego that is easily passed off as a good feeling, when in fact it is only a subtle way of the unconscious ego to nourish itself with the affection of another. To nourish that feeling which is really only a well-lived and well-crystallized weakness in morals and social conditions. Vampirism can hide under the blossom of social and family values, to such an extent that many men in the past, in their youth, would never have dared to question certain demands that required them to give blood, to nourish the false feelings that beat in the chest of their unconscious parents. The vampiric ego does not realize its state, because it is too focused on itself. Self-centeredness and ego vampirism go hand in hand. The ego vampirizes because it only sees its person, and its vampirism can be so veiled that very often it will vampirize by making it appear that it loves. It is in relation to the feeling of love that the most subtle form of human vampirism is discovered. It is in the name of love that an ego will vampirize another to such an extent that the other, if he does not give in spite of himself, will feel guilty in bad faith. Look at the young man or girl who wants to leave the parental home after puberty to flap his or her wings. Observe and look at the subtle play that often takes place between parents and children. We will accuse children of being heartless. We will say that we brought children into the world. But why? What good is it to us? All kinds of formulas will be developed to create great deep sadness in these children. Some young people felt so much remorse, guilt, when they left the family behind to live their lives, as parents had lived their lives, that their lives were poisoned for months or even years. All this in the name of love. What is dangerous for the weak individual is that he does not see the vampirism of the ego. He is too good to see it. He is too naive. It is very dangerous to be too good, because we lose our will to act, we lose our intelligence, and we submit to powerful feelings that feed the vampirism of others. We risk our intelligence. Our culture has been oriented for centuries to give of ourselves. We have not realized that this principle, which in itself is good, can only be beneficial for the individual and society if it is universalized in society. But since it is not and is very far from being so, we must be able to see the negative side of this principle, and realize that to any good principle must be added great intelligence, so that we benefit from the principle but that we are not victims of it. As soon as a man is a victim of a good principle, he can only blame his lack of discernment, of will. The vampiric ego will use everything at its disposal, everything that society recognizes as a good principle, to support its cause, and extract what it can from those who have no discernment, no spine, no capacity for refusal. We can afford to live by the right principles of life, if we understand them well, if we see all aspects of them. Otherwise, we are bound to execute blindly for the benefit of others, whether it is society or the individual who vampirizes us. The individual, his individuality, his identity, are realities that cannot be crushed. Otherwise, human life, the creative life of man, the complete, free life, is not possible. Look at what happens under totalitarian regimes where state vampirism is at its most effective against the individual. Whether you look at it from this angle or that angle, under this or that condition, vampirism always comes back to the same thing: the victim lacks discernment in his intelligence and will in his life. There is a cure for all ills. The vampirism of the ego is an evil, because it draws forces, energies, from the other. And if he doesn't realize it, he's a poor man. When he realizes it, he will realize that for years he has been impoverished in his experience, in his life. What makes it difficult to discover vampirism in an ego is that some egos are not at all vampiric in some cases. They are in others. So that the ego that is naive, very good, will even refuse to see vampirism in this or that person, because its discernment is not sufficient to make him see that even the vampire can have very great qualities of heart or mind. This is precisely why those who come into contact with him or live with him must be able to discern the true from the false feeling. Egoistic vampirism is maintained until those who are victims realize it. And it can only be corrected by those who have enough discernment and will to make it happen to those who cannot recognize it in themselves. Otherwise, it will continue to manifest itself as a wound that continues to spread when conditions remain constant. Egoistic vampirism is similar to all those forms of energy that are more or less unbalanced, because vampirism indicates that a person's energy is unbalanced on one plane or another of his personality. The more man develops his own energy centers, the more centered he becomes, the more sensitive he becomes to the vampirism of the ego, because he sees that he can do many things by himself. But when this same Man lives outside himself and has no centrality. He feels obliged to live from others because his being lacks something real. Being vampiric, in any way, is an indicator that something is missing. We are not complete, so we seek to complement ourselves through others, or on the backs of others. This does not advance neither the one who is vampiric, nor the others who are vampirist. One is only the other side of the other. When man began to develop centrality, his intelligence and emotions took a new turn. He is better able to concentrate on himself, to feed himself, to be self-sufficient. This new turn of mind brings him closer to himself, and he feels better and better in himself and with himself. Men live so much on the hooks of others that they have difficulty discovering their own wealth, their own creativity, their own self, their own real and totally balanced self. The ego that vampirizes others does not realize its weakness, its vulnerability. One of the great flaws of the vampiric ego is its vulnerability. Depending on the nature of his vampirism, he will be very vulnerable if we take away from him what he has always taken away from others, or fed on by others. And his vulnerability is so great that where there is entrenchment, there will be temporary aggression towards the one he has always vampirized. It will take some time for the ego to regain its calm and recover from the shock. The psychology of selfish vampirism is an endless study of human behavior, because it can shed light on aspects of behavior that are accumulative, that is, that generate other aspects, so that vampirism, if it continues for a long time in life, will cause discomfort in the mind and heart that will only be discovered over time. There is a strong relationship between vampirism and sexuality in love. I say loving sexuality because the feeling of human love in sexuality is the basic element that makes us recognize that selfish vampirism, especially in some women, is one of the forces that generates a kind of tension in the male. When a too strong request is indicated in the woman for an intimate relationship with her, egoistic vampirism hides behind the great feeling of sexual love or sexualized love or sexualized sexuality or loving sexuality. Turn it around as you please. And if this feeling is not fulfilled in the act, a frustration is established in the woman. However, this frustration generates more frustration, and the egoistic vampirism of the woman who loves and wants to be loved in the act increases, until the day when the male prefers to spend more time in the office than in the marital bed. Not enough. It's not enough. But too much is too much too. And the same condition, the same situation can be found in humans. The vampirism of the ego is like a kind of great lady who must wear black in order not to be recognized in the evening. If man possessed enough discernment, he would be aware of the great lady, even at night, simply by the sound of the rustle of her skirts. This is to explain the phenomenon of vampirism from another angle. Man cannot often detect vampirism simply by the color of its shape. He must detect it by a safe and effective means, a means that does not lie and cannot be lied to. This means is the vibratory sensitivity of human consciousness to the approach of another self-consciousness. When a man is conscious, his vibratory sensitivity is sufficient to make him take a stand against another person's selfish vampirism. And as soon as a conscious man has begun to realize vibratorily the vampirism of a being, he adjusts his behavior according to his sensitivity, his perception. And this adjustment frees him, makes him free of that person. But to become vibratorily aware of man's egoistic vampirism, one must have suffered a little from man. And it is this suffering that brings us the sensitivity we need to discover it despite all the forms that can veil vampirism. Vibratory sensitivity is an activity of pure consciousness. It is a perfect measure against ego vampirism. The more sensitive the human being is to vibration, the more centered he really is. The more he is truly centered, and not self-centered, the more easily he can discern vampirism in the beings around him. If, on the other hand, his vibratory consciousness, his sensitivity, is diminished by false feelings, his consciousness will not have the power to sharpen the sense of autonomy in him, and he will lose energy until the day when he is sufficiently free of his own forms to see through the color of the veil of the great black lady. Egoistic vampirism always wants to prove itself right because it values its life, that is, its survival. But as it has already been said elsewhere, real life is not about survival. Real life is the total balance of man's subtle bodies with the vibratory forces of life that enter him. This real life takes care of everything, and survival is not a problem for man. But as long as he does not approach this real life, a false one will be created on the backs of others, who, because of their own blindness, will perpetuate unconsciousness and all its forms of imposition and domination. Egoistic vampirism is a subtle form of man's domination over man. The more man becomes aware, the less he can bear the vibration of such a form of consciousness towards himself, because his real intelligence is too present in him for him to be able to blindly suffer this domination. It is then that he reacts, that he has the ability to react instantly to such domination, and he puts an end to it immediately. If he does not put an end to it immediately, He will gradually put an end to it. But eventually there will be. Because his consciousness cannot allow him to be dominated. Because domination is part of unconsciousness. And any form of unconsciousness must be neutralized by real consciousness. Where it is affected on a personal level. Egoistic vampirism takes root in man when it has not been controlled at its source. That is, by an intelligent and strong education. Natural character trends must be adjusted during early family education. If these trends are not corrected, they will continue to grow over the years. Until the one who is vampiric necessarily recognizes it. The experience of life can make the vampiric ego suffer and can also make the victim suffer. This is why in both cases the consciousness must develop, so that the vampiric ego takes possession of itself more and more, and the victim stops being dominated. The vampiric ego has a natural tendency to take, or to want to take too much place in the life of the victim, or of other egos. Notice those people who are sufficiently autonomous in life, who go to their work without constantly having to be supported by others, and you will see that these people have a certain success in their lives. In their businesses. Because they live on their energies. A kind of admiration emanates from those who observe them. And with good reason. For these beings bring something to life. Instead of simply infecting it with their weakness. They are already predisposed not to be vampirist. Because even if they are not objectively conscious, they still have a certain subjective consciousness that reflects a lively intelligence and a sufficiently harmonized emotional intelligence. The egoistic vampire constantly drags his feet in the mud of his emotions. Because this attitude comes from a certain emotionality. A certain lack of maturity towards himself. Maturity towards oneself is a force of human consciousness. And the greater this force is, the greater and more creative the consciousness is. The vampire is always weak from something in himself. Often he does not realize it, does not see it as a weakness, hence his vampirism. But this weakness sticks to his being, and when he doesn't see it, he transfers it through his vampirism to others. So that once transferred, he loses more and more consciousness of it and moves further and further away from his ill-fitting reality. The vampiric ego projects a lot on others. It will always be the fault of others. For example. So this attitude comes from the very subtle mechanisms of selfish vampirism. By projecting this or that fault onto others, he will use the reaction against others, and he will rise in his own esteem. Because the vampiric ego always has a high self-esteem, even if that self-esteem is false. This self-esteem comes from a kind of vanity of his mind. It is precisely this vanity in his mind that motivates him to give himself the impression that others owe him something. This vanity, of course, also becomes the barrier that prevents him from realizing his vampirism. Egoistic vampirism, if not thwarted, will eventually be perceived by beings who become conscious and who become more and more sensitive to vibration. So that the day will come when their vibratory sensitivity will sound the alarm, and from that moment on they will feel obliged to break their bond with those who vampirize them. Once this link is removed, it can hardly be restored, because human consciousness tends to constantly move forward and not return to the past of experience. Consciousness, once it manifests itself, once it is adjusted in man, can no longer allow certain experiences, certain forms of experience to pass through. It is obliged to mark this experience, that is, to accept or reject it. The more conscious man is, the more he will discern selfish vampirism, and his consciousness will force him to close the door where it was greatly opened. This is why the vampiric ego must realize its condition, especially if it has the advantage that it is shown, demonstrated and indicated to it. Those who become aware will not be able to suffer in their position, in their environment, from selfish vampirism. Because they will have understood the illusion of others too much, they will no longer want to suffer from their illusions. This will tend to form more or less hermetic cells that will be linked together by a universal force. But these cells will not be able to conjugate together into a unit of creative consciousness, as long as the slightest vibration of selfish vampirism has not disappeared from the consciousness of these evolving beings.